Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Here is The Savage Nation. We have a news flash. We just learned that if Ted Cruz loses, he and his father have leased Guantanamo Naval Base from the U.S. government, where they're going to go to Cuba and breed snakes for all the Pentecostals around the world. Repeat, this is a Savage Nation exclusive. If Ted Cruz loses to Trump, we have learned that he is moving to Guantanamo to breed holy snakes for Pentecostals around the world. Just kidding, folks. Lighten up a little bit, will you? Here's another one, by the way, after it's over. We hear that if Rubio loses, he's going to try to sell ice to the Eskimos. And here's another. We hear that after it's over, Kasich is going to try to sell small rubber boots to ducks. What does that one mean? I've been writing these before the show for entertainment. If it's all over, Lindsey Graham is going to sell Christian Bibles in Saudi Arabia as penance for attacking Trump. And by the way, after it's all over, we hear Sanders is going to sell Knishes to ISIS. How will that work out? And one other, by the way, after it's all over, Hillary is going to sell used pantsuits to zoos. Try to figure that one out. This is the Savage Nation. I hope you had a chuckle. Try to laugh a little bit. Bitterness doesn't sell. Bitterness doesn't sell. You know, it's interesting to me. There's a common idea that conservatives are stiffs, and they are. They're rigid. They're stiff. When you say Republican or conservative, what do you think? Some rigid, uptight guy who has no sense of humor whatsoever, who's probably a closet, well, fill in the blank. A closet, anything you want, from drug addict to you know what. In other words, behind the mask of sobriety, there's something else, right? That's what you think of, a hypocrite through and through, a rigid person. Well, you know, stereotypes don't always work, but when you think of Donald Trump, he doesn't fit the stereotype, which is why he's popular. Think about it. He's not uptight. He has a sense of humor. He doesn't have bitterness. Does he really have anger? Well, let's look back. You know, sarcasm is not anger. Machismo is not anger. Think about that. Don't confuse all the words together. It requires a knowledge of what sarcasm is, a sardonic sense of humor. I mean, all these words have meanings that shouldn't be lost upon you. And I think that one of the reasons Trump is popular is because he's not an uptight, classic Republican type. While the others are, Ted Cruz is a classic, uptight Republican, when you think about it. I mean, snakes aside. All that stuff about Bibles and snakes aside. He doesn't seem to have a sense of humor. He's Richard Nixon with the, you know, the sweat on the upper lip. You can feel that. But there's no point in bashing these guys. They're all good men. For some reason or other, I think they must be. I don't know what they are, truthfully. But they're all part of the establishment. I mean, after all, Rubio and Cruz are senators. How can they pretend to be outsiders? Oh, I know, they're the good senators. I get it. Right. Tell me how that's worked out for you last time you trusted anyone from Congress. But, you know, I don't even want to talk about politics. Today is Super Tuesday. I recognize that. But, you know, the results aren't in until, what, 8 hours from now or something like that? So what am I going to do, sit here and read polls to you like a Schmendrick? You can read the polls yourself. There is a result, by the way. One did come in. Trump has won the first primary in the Republican field. That's right. He won Northern Mariana Islands caucus. Donald Trump has won the Republican caucus in the Northern Mariana Islands, picking up 9 pledged delegates. Picking them up from where? Picking them up from the floor of the bar or from the floor of the Kava stand? I mean, where to pick them up? Well, he's picked up 9 delegates in Marianas Islands. And as you know, the Marianas are a remote U.S. territory. And he won that one. Good God. Let's see. Ralph Torres, the governor of the Northern Mariana Islands, threw his support behind Trump ahead of the caucus. Okay, that's a big win. That's a big win. You know, I saw an article before the show that I really want to talk about. The Centers for Disease Control, a now defunct organization under Barry Obama, a political operative, group of political operatives, they put out propaganda. So today they issued new guidelines on opiate prescriptions to reduce abuse, which is a good step, I guess. The so-called Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which if Trump wins, I'm going to lobby to take over and produce real science and real medicine, warned doctors Tuesday to use caution when prescribing drugs for chronic pain. Wow, that's a breakthrough idea, isn't that one? We really need a government agency that spends, what, billions of dollars a year to tell us that? To tell doctors not to overprescribe OxyContin? I like that one. We know that 40 Americans a day are dying from overdoses of prescription painkillers. Wow, we didn't know that. Nearly all of the prescription opiates on the market are as powerful as heroin, said CDC clown Thomas Friedman. We know that. So why don't they just tell the drug companies to stop making it instead of issuing a false canard like this? In other words, if the U.S. government really wanted this stopped, they go to the pharmaceutical manufacturer and they say, you're not making these pills anymore, you're going to go to jail. They're too dangerous, they're banned. So instead they put out this crap, telling the doctors not to overprescribe it. When treating chronic pain, doctors should use therapies other than opiates, like what? Exercise, that really helps when you're dying of pain. Or NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, they don't really work, by the way, for severe pain. The fact is that major league drugs work for major league pain. The problem is they're prescribed for non-major league pain. That's the real problem. Okay, so you know what I wanted to talk about that? I really wanted to talk about that. Are you a secret prescription drug addict? How did it happen to you, and how do you hide it? I am talking about a secret drug addict. Are you a secret drug addict? Come on now. You can tell Uncle Mike. You can tell Uncle Mike. You can go get a handkerchief and put it over the mouthpiece of your phone and confess to America that you're a secret drug addict. Or else I'm going to talk about politics. I had a dream last night that of my three-hour show a day, I'm going to start doing a half an hour of health topics. Because after this election is over, I intend to still be in the media, whether it's on radio or wherever I may be. I'm not going away. And given my interest in alternative medicine and all the years I spent in it, I actually think a good part of my future is going to be going back where I started, which is alternative medicine, homeopathy, nutrition, herbal medicine, all of the alternative medical practices that I wrote about 30 years ago, which were considered crazy at the time by doctors, are now sort of mainstream. And the only people who don't believe in them would be rigid conservatives who still walk around with constitutions attached to their thyroid gland and still think that eating cheeseburgers and taking drugs is the answer to every problem, and that anyone who uses herbal medicine or nutrition is some kind of hippie from Berkeley. That's why the young people don't like conservatives. That's why they move away from them, because they understand that things have changed. You understand that? Young people who may be conservative because they love their country are also environmentalists because they love the earth. They don't want the earth decimated. They don't want the airs, waters, and places contaminated. Young people are probably into alternative medicine to a great extent. Whether it's faddish or not, it's another story. You have to go and look at each thing on its own. But, you know, they're a little different than you were when you were young. And so it's a different world, and I'm a flexible guy, and I know something I learned a long time ago, which is true in my personal life, as well as in my professional life. I learned when I was studying evolution that animals that didn't adapt died. And there was an adage, adapt or die. It's true politically, it's true biologically, it's true medically, it's true psychologically. It's called adapt or die, and that means if you get rigid, you're finished. You turn to a pillar of salt. And that's true for Republicans who've turned to pillars of salt. And it's true for individuals who are stuck in the past. And I'm not one of those individuals because in many ways I am like a rolling stone. I always have been. You know, I told you I found a sign in Florida when I was there. I love these corny signs. I guess I've gotten older. My mother never even collected them, but I do. But I used to buy these cushions that had weird sayings on them. The family sees them. I hide them when I call it like this. What does this one say? Most folks are like barbed wire fences. They have their good points. Stupid, corny stuff that you wouldn't be caught dead with. I let my dog tear it up. But this time I bought one which says, I was weird before weird was cool. Now, that I thought was funny. But since I've always been weird, I've always been into alternative things. And alternative medicine was one of the things I was into long before it was popular. If you look back, my first published book was Earth Medicine, Earth Foods, 1972, about Native American Indians, if you want to call them that. It's kind of a derogatory word, Indian. We call them something else now, but the people who lived here before anyone else did, like they were here for 200,000 years, probably came over the, the Aleutian Islands. They walked over from Asia, which is why the similarities. And they adapted to the land, broke up into different tribes, spoke different languages, warred with each other for millennia, skinned each other alive, raped the other guy's wife if he caught her in the woods without the guy. I mean, don't tell me about the noble savage, please. I've studied it too much to know they were not that noble. Movies made them into noble savages, but there were no Indians in the movies. If you look back in the movies in the 50s, I sometimes watch them just to laugh at them. You know, the age of Jeff Chandler as a Sioux Indian chief, as the guy Sitting Bull, played by Jewish guys from Brooklyn. That's what it was, the whole movie industry in the 50s. They took dark-skinned Sephardic Jewish guys and put headbands on them. They were like hippies, and they turned them into Indians. They didn't even put Indians in the movies. Made a fortune with them, MGM, whatever. That's how it worked. So, I'm kind of goofing around today. I'm not going to eat my heart out over this. I just want to enjoy the show. Yes, I will give you breaking news to make you... you'll change the dial to hear someone talk about the news. What can't you get on your own in the news that I could give you on a radio show? The answer is nothing. So if I cannot offer you an alternative to what you can get on the internet in a millisecond, why should I be in radio? Well, I can just read the headlines to you and ask you what you think about them. That's Radio 101. It can't go on. It's over. It's the dinosaur of talk. So I'd rather, tell jokes today. And, and I really want to get into this drug abuse thing because I think it's a major league problem. Now, there are news stories, obviously, that are worth talking about. For example, at Harvard University, a so-called left-wing activist said white people should kill themselves to atone for white privilege. It's a YouTube video that shows two black student activists, so-called, from the University of West Georgia, that's a really great institution, asserting that white people should kill themselves in order to atone for white privilege. The debate, which was held at Harvard University, features two creeps, two sub-morons from the University of West Georgia, who won second place at the Cross-Examination Debate Association Nationals. And so these two racist blacks are now featured at Harvard on a YouTube, and they're saying white life is wrong and that white people should kill themselves. Now, this is what's passing for college boys today on the campuses. So I'm giving an example of what's going on. Where did this all come from? It came from the White House. He didn't write it for them, but this is what you have. When you encourage sub-morons to think out loud and don't chastise them for being the racists that they are, they get worse. It's the same with the guy who jumped the stage at the Trump rally. Why was he released? Why is he not in jail? Savage says, get Reagan tough on Trump. Protesters are risk civil war. Douglas Ernst, WND.com. Radio host Michael Savage says it's time to treat Donald Trump's protesters the way Ronald Reagan did with UC Berkeley students in 1969 as governor of California. Now, that's a good article. Here's another one. Michael Savage, The Angry Man Worth Reading. And this is a review by a man who has a huge history in the media, Martin Seif. He's been around a long time. But he listens to me and he actually hears me. Served as chief foreign correspondent for the Washington Times, chief news analyst, international affairs for UPI. Received 3 Pulitzer Prize nominations for international reporting. He'll be on the show later. The Angry Man Worth Reading, Michael Savage. So don't think I'm gonna walk away from my insights and analysis. I will get back to it. And I'll also talk about why Bernie Sanders is morally unfit to be president. All here. Well, Rubio to try to sell ice to Eskimos. Kasich to sell small rubber boots to ducks. Lindsey Graham to sell Christian Bibles in Saudi Arabia. Sanders to sell Knishes to ISIS. Hillary to sell used pantsuits to zoos. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
Drugs, one way or the other, legal, illegal, Prozac, Valium, this, that, six prescription drugs. Most Americans are drug addicts. So today we're going to talk about prescription drugs. You know, there was a pill mill in Florida that started the whole thing. He was a convict who had been convicted of selling steroids. And with his twin brother, they opened up a new opportunity in Florida, which were pain clinics. We found out in Florida, pain clinics could dispense addictive prescription painkillers and no one tracked the patients. So he hired a bunch of quack doctors and raked in $40 million within 2 years, and 90% of the clinic's pills flowed north to feed America's insatiable narcotics addiction. And then hundreds of more pain clinics popped up in Florida, creating a gigantic new drug industry. I read this a number of years ago. There's a book called American Pain, and we're talking about the results of it. Why is it that the government doesn't ban the production of OxyContin is the question. They could do it tomorrow. They banned the large sodas in New York, didn't they? The big soda. Bloomberg was offended by 16-ounce sodas, but they have nothing. Don't you see the conspiracy in the government that they go after soda and fat and this and that, and they let kids, they tell you marijuana is as healthy as a vitamin pill. They're addicting your children to marijuana, the gateway drug of gateway drugs, the most dangerous of all drugs. Marijuana, marijuana, marijuana now being sold like it's candy. It's a gateway drug to addict an entire generation and turn them into helpless fools. But you don't see that because it's a massive propaganda game. I want to talk about addiction today, for a while anyway. We got lots of great callers who were secret drug addicts. You'd never know it. How many of them are you? How many of you are secret drug addicts with your clean shirts?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7287.
Of drug abuse in the United States of America, which really should be a major campaign issue, and it isn't. The only one who brought it up was me, and then Trump brought it up to his credit, and then it's been dropped because no one else will dare talk about it because they're all beholden to the pharmaceutical industry one way or the other. You go to Florida, and there was a time when the pill-based economy was in full swing. Wherever you went, you saw billboards for pain management. Wherever you went, you saw dive motels catering to Oxy tourists. Drug stores, MRI facilities were flourishing. The pain clinics, parking lots clogged with out-of-state vehicles. Clinics were opening and closing and changing locations. Well, how many are left now? How many are left in Florida or in your state that are fake pill mills, simply to push Oxy and other dangerous opioids? And why doesn't the U.S. government stop it? Well, I'll let you figure out why the U.S. government doesn't stop it, instead focusing on soda and fat. Like, trans fats are their problem, not OxyContin. Take a look at these lying senators, and you'll know why people want to throw them out of office. If they could, they'd like to throw them in jail. Every time they hear one of these well-dressed, lying, silver-haired senators talk about soda or sugar, they like to throw them in jail because they know they're lying and they're in the hands of the drug, the pill manufacturers, amongst others, by the way. That's why I'm talking about it. Everything's political. At the end of the day, it's all political, and that's why I'm talking about it. As far as the polls go, I mean, you can look them up yourself. Who's this? This one's up. Trump hits 53%, this, that. Good, let's see what happens. Let us see what happens. But let's move on. There's other topics in life. WMAL, Washington, Mike, go ahead. What's your problem? What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike.
Mike, you're on the radio. Go ahead, please.
I guess I fall into the category you're looking for here. I was prescribed them about 8 years ago, OxyContin, or OxyCodeine, or whatever it is, for rheumatoid arthritis. I did try everything else that was out there prior to using these, Vioxx, Celebrex, whatever was on the market. As you know, some things work for some people and don't work for others, and these do work very well, I got to admit.
How many do you take a day?
Eight, 10 milligrams.
And are you actually on a prescription, or are you buying them on the black market?
Oh, no, I'm on a prescription.
So the doctor has put you, allows you to have 8-10 milligram oxys a day?
Correct.
I'm not going to comment. I mean, it kills your pain, and you're functional, correct?
I am. Yeah, I agree. They're way overprescribed. No question about it. But in some cases...
Well, you know, I'll tell you the truth. I live with pain of one kind or another my whole life. Psychic pain, physical pain. You just live with it. I don't know how bad your pain is, but, hey, if a person reaches a point where they can't handle it, they got to do something. I'm not telling people to be stoic and just live with pain, but something's got to give here. There's got to be some in-between, methods that are useful for killing pain other than going to more morphine-based or morphine-like prescription drugs. I was raised to deal with pain by living with it, by my mother. Then I started complaining as a child because who knows why kids complain. She said, look, don't you think I have pain? She said, just forget about it. I have friends whose mothers were just as tough, and they're not drug addicts. And they live with pain of one kind or another. Pain is part of life. I think that's really a part of the show that we ought to talk about, because most of the world knows that pain and suffering and hunger, tiredness is part of their life. We don't. In America, I guess we're born to think that we're in the promised land, that we're not supposed to have any pain, no hunger. And look at the morons on the campuses now. Children who were never, ever, ever qualified to get into the colleges are being thrown onto the campuses. They can't keep up academically, so they say that there's words that are hurting them. Instead of focusing on learning, which they can't do because they're not smart enough or they don't have the background, suddenly they're worried about words that are hurting them. They go to, you know, all sorts of programs for them, because no one ever told them that life is tough. And what are they going to do when they get out of college? Well, they're going to join the Bernie campaign. When they get out of college, they'll join the rioters at a Trump campaign, because everyone's supposed to listen to them, like the moron who jumped the stage. He said he wanted to be heard. You hear this? This uneducated moron from Ohio State, he wanted to be heard, so therefore he had a right to jump the stage. The guy should be in jail for 10 years. Who pulled the strings for that kid? We had his aunt on yesterday. She doesn't like him very much. Who got him out of jail? Why don't you try it at a Hillary campaign and see what happens? Let's see what happens to someone who jumps the stage at a Bernie campaign and just says, you know, I don't like Bernie. He's a bully. So I wanted to speak. See what the Secret Service does to you. Why didn't they body slam this kid and throw him into prison? Well, try it, as I said, and see what happens in a... I'm not recommending you do, but I say, if you try it, let's put it that way. You know you'd go into a dark holding cell for a long period of time. You might even be sent to the hotel where Antonin Scalia went for a vacation. They might send you for a little one-way vacation. Used to be known as a Sicilian boat ride. They'll send you on a one-way trip to Texas to a certain hotel with a pillow. Used to come to San Francisco with a flower in your hair. I guess you go to that hotel with a pillowcase in your suitcase. KSFO Ken, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hello, Mike. I'm just calling. I'm one of those secret drug addicts, I guess you call it. Anyway, I started off, I got a prescription from my dentist, and it made me feel really good. And anyway, I'm a construction worker. I'm 52 years old, and I've probably been taking it for about 16 years.
How many pills do you take a day?
Up to about 12, and we're talking about 10, 320 acetaminophen, hydrocodone.
Oh, the mixture.
Yes.
So it's 10 milligrams of oxy and, what, about 250 acetaminophen?
I believe it is, of acetaminophen.
No, how much of the acetaminophen, what, 250?
320,
that's a strong pill. You know, I didn't even know what it was. About 15 years ago, I went to a neurologist for a problem I had, and she was wonderful. She gave me a prescription, and it was exactly what you're talking about, but it was stronger than that. I still have it in the drawer somewhere. It was like a big, and I took one. I never felt better. But the thing is, I looked at it carefully. I said, be careful. You know, anything that makes you feel this good is going to addict you. So I never took them again. So how do you avoid, you can't avoid taking them, right?
When I don't have any, I run out. I buy anti-diarrhea Loperamide, I think it's called, and there's a...
Oh, it's a Lotrimol-based drug. And that's what? That works?
It works for the withdrawal symptoms, yeah. But it
it stops diarrhea because opioids cause constipation. So as a side effect, do you have constipation?
Yes.
Well, that's another problem unto itself. So I'm not asking to be cute about it, but what do you do for that?
For constipation? Well,
I have an answer for that. Just eat some Chinese food in San Francisco. That'll cure that. That'll help you a lot. You know, take the oxy and go to a restaurant in the outer avenues.
Correct.
Actually, no, that's not true. The outer avenues have good Chinese food. I recommend eating somewhere in Berkeley or in Oakland if you want to really cure that constipation. All right, this is not a fun topic. So you're committed to it. You're going to live with it, right?
I have.
How many years? How many years have you been on Oxy, Ken?
15, since about 2000.
And have you had to take more over the years to get the same feel-good?
Just to feel normal.
But when you started, were you taking eight a day?
You can build up. I could take four at a time. I take, you know.
No, let's start. When you first started, how many were you taking a day?
Couple.
I'm not hearing him. I don't know what's going on here.
Six when I first started.
Yeah, and now how many are you taking?
Up to 14, usually like 12.
So you're an addict. That's what you said. You're a secret. Does anyone know that you're a secret opiate addict?
Well, I have a family member that also has a problem with him. He's the only one. He's like my best friend, so he's the only one that knows. And my girlfriend.
But Ken, now this is interesting. Okay, and your girlfriend. Are you able to have relations with your girlfriend?
No.
It affects the male libido, right?
Yeah, I have no interest.
You have no interest? Well, that sounds appealing. It actually takes away your interest or your performance?
My interest.
That's interesting. I wonder why that is. What, because the pleasure center is being satisfied by the opiate rather than sex?
You tell me. I don't know. I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's what's happening. So, in other words, you're getting the pleasure. The pleasure centers are being satisfied from the opiates, and you don't need the orgasm.
Yes.
No, that's not a joke. It's just a medical phenomenon. So it's a cure for satyriasis for those of you suffering from the other side of the coin.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
All right. There you go. If you have satyriasis, go into the doctor and tell him you need a cure. All right. Thanks for the call. This is an interesting show in its own way. I really didn't realize that. So if a guy is obsessed with sex, there's actually a cure for it, which is get addicted to Oxy? How does that work? Well, there's the rub, my friends. There's no free lunch. It's one thing or another. You know, I think this is a good topic, and I've got, don't think I don't have lots of calls on this Oxy addiction. I think it's wonderful. And yet, you don't hear much about it. It's the same every day. Rubio, Schmubio, Hibio, Mibio. But you say, if I'm listening to this show, and I'm not the host of the show, I'm not Michael Savage, it's not a radio show, but I'm just driving in a car, and I tune in, I say, well, I don't know, would I listen to this? See, that's the question I ask myself when I do a radio show. You have to have like another ear, a third ear. And you have to say to yourself, well, if you're driving around in Mississippi or New York, you're on the Cross Bronx Expressway, you're a taxi driver, would you listen to this? And if so, why? And my answer is affirmatively yes, I would listen to it for a number of reasons, and I don't have to explain why. And I'm going to continue to do it for a bit more on the program. And I hope at the end of it, it helps people. And I hope it doesn't make people want to try them. But we don't know. You see, that's the thing. This is an experiment. You may listen to this and say it sounds good. I hope not. NTW Radio in Virginia. John, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes, in the early 2000s when I lived in San Diego, I went and saw a doctor for a shoulder problem, and he prescribed, instead of fixing the problem, he gave me a 60 Vicodin with 3 refills. And at the time, I would maybe take 4 a day, and then it became to where I was able to purchase them from elderly folks in certain parts of the city, to the point where I could take 6 to 8 of Vicodin of 750 milligrams 5 times a day just to feel normal, to the point where I had to be medically detoxed. in the crazy house of a hospital for
You had to go to a hospital to get detox. That's how severe the addiction had become.
I'm sorry.
Are you off the pills now?
Sure. Yeah.
Well, how did you kick? Just through a serious detox in the hospital?
A serious detox, and then a 30-day program, and then relocating myself away from the familiar areas where I knew where to go. So
today, do you still crave the drug? Do you still get cravings?
No. Today, I don't.
You absolutely don't? You never like, oh, boy, I would like to try it again. I'd like to get away from this pain?
I take that back. I can fantasize about it, but not feel threatened by that fancy juice.
Interesting what you just said. So you learned in rehab, if I'm following you correctly, that it's okay to fantasize about it, but you don't have to then act it out.
That is correct.
So that's the way to break any addiction, whether it's sex addiction, drug addiction, whatever, is it's okay to fantasize, but you don't have to go and do it.
But, yeah, cannot give in to the impulses of that fantasy. Correct.
Interesting. Wow. I think that's very interesting. Maybe that's helpful to people who are listening to the show, is that don't suppress the thought about it, but it doesn't mean you have to go from the thought to the action, which I guess we don't hear enough about, because we're living in an impulsive society, aren't we? Every ad on every show tells you to act on your impulses. Am I right, Robert? Every ad for every, look at the food ads, a potato chip or this or that. It says, Dad, go ahead, you know, try it. There should be no blockage between your imaging and your action. So now we're learning the opposite is true for people who are addicted to drugs. So I think we had a breakthrough on the Savage Nation. I hope your therapy is going well. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. I got a lot of pain in me, you know, but I got to learn how to deal with it. I have a long time ago. That's what I'm saying. We don't teach kids to deal with pain. Life is pain. Life is difficult. Life is going to be disappointing. Life is a struggle. I mean, but we're teaching the kids the opposite. You know, if it feels good, do it. We know the whole story. It's getting so crazy that there's an article on Breitbart that people between the ages of 13 and 20 have such bizarre ideas about the relationships between boys and girls that you never believe them if you're over that age group. A new study was done by a division of the advertising mega giant J. Walter Thompson. And they don't even know that 56% of kids from the so-called Gen Z generation know someone who goes by the gender-neutral pronouns such as they, them, or Z. Now, you see, they're a different generation than the millennials now. We're talking about the younger group beyond the millennials. And this group is so brainwashed by the trans culture that they reject the gender binary when shopping. You don't even know what gender binary means. I'll explain it to you. Only 48% of this generation describes themselves as, quote, completely heterosexual. 6% consider themselves completely homosexual. The rest portray themselves as somewhat bisexual. So what does that all mean? Well, look ahead and you'll figure out what it all means. Enter the Muslim. I told you that nature abhors a vacuum. I told you that there is a great, great reason that Muslims are entering the West. I told you this, but you didn't want to believe me. One day you'll come to say I was a prophet.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
How do drugs work out for her? See, that's the problem. No, playing more. She's a great singer. What emotion. Who didn't love this woman? She was the poltergeist of our emotions. We were all screaming inside in the 70s, and some of us went over the edge, and some didn't make it. And here we are, those of us who did. And now many of us are screaming inside our heads again all over again because we see a nightmare in this country as a result of the imposter in the White House and the would-be imposters on the Democrat side. And some of you would say the imposters on the other side. And the news is so horrible when you look at the surge of immigrants, many of whom are unproductive, many of whom are criminals. When you look at the meltdown of Europe being taken over by Muslims, you look at evil men like George Soros who are pretending to be philanthropists when they brought about such chaos in Europe with their, quote, open society foundations. A guy like Soros who is now funding immigrant groups to attack Trump. Why is Soros so freaked out over a Trump win? Why does he so badly want the status quo to win? Think about what Soros would lose if a guy like Trump won. Soros, alarmed by Trump, pours money into 2016 race. He pledged $13 million to help Hillary Clinton and other Democrats this year. This is the same money changer in the temple who tried to undermine, of all people, George Bush a number of years ago. So you ask yourself, why would this hedge fund billionaire want Trump to lose? Why would this 85-year-old Hungarian-born speculator, who made billions betting on price swings and currencies and other assets, hate Trump so much? It's very simple. Because he feels that a conservative who wins, or even if you don't want to call Donald Trump a conservative, let us say someone he can't get to wins, he might just pay for some of his shenanigans. See what I'm saying? And that's why they're all panicking. Now, that has nothing to do with the topic at hand. The topic at hand for me is opiate addiction today, because it came out that the CDC issued new guidelines on opiate prescriptions, telling doctors to prescribe less, which is utter nonsense. It's window dressing. The CDC is a totally politicized organization. It lies to you about everything. It covers up the immigrants coming in with diseases, amongst other things. And it's a topic, though, because there are pain pills. Many of you are addicts. We've had several calls in the first hour from people who I said, are you a secret prescription drug addict? And I thought we had very good calls, and I thought it was a very interesting hour. And I intend to continue it right now, because if you think I'm just going to sit here and complain about, oh, we didn't win this, we didn't win that, this, I'm not going to do it. We'll know tonight what the results are on Super Tuesday. Then tomorrow we can sit and yak about it all day long. He won this, and that one lost that, and he's going to do this. And I got this, and I heard that, and then this, and then that, the him, and the ha, and the hem, and the hair, around and around. I'm going to hear Rubio and Kasich and Graham, non-entities, all of them. Men who you'll forget right after the primary. You'll never remember their names. You won't even know who they were. If you were to give people a test in 3 months and ask you who was Rubio, you'll say, isn't he running an auto dealership in Havana right now selling old American cars? Rubio's Autos. And Sanders, you all remember him. Oh, yeah, Sanders Knishes on Ludlow Street. Doesn't he own a Knish stand? Or Hillary's pantsuits. That'd be a big line, by the way, for Ralph Lauren. Hillary's pantsuits. She can make more money at that than the Clinton Library. I don't know what she's wasting her time for. And I'd be more honest on top of it all, because she could just sell the pantsuits. But that's all boring. Lindsey Graham selling Christian Bibles in Saudi Arabia as penance for what he's done for being such a bad boy. Not bad. Savage headlines for 3/15/16. Syphilis cases growing exponentially in Fresno County. I don't know why Fresno County. The Department of Public Health Sexually Transmitted Disease Control Branch is seeking solutions to the country's syphilis crisis, which may be linked to drug use and prostitution. Now, as little as I know about Fresno County, I'm one of these, I have to admit it, you know, like there are people in New York who don't really leave Manhattan, and they have a certain bias against the outer boroughs. Well, the same exists here in the San Francisco area. I really don't even know where Fresno is, even though I'm on a station there. But I know that there's an awful lot of illegal aliens in Fresno. Okay? So what does that have to do with syphilis? I don't know. Sexually transmitted disease was nearly non-existent 6 years ago in Fresno County. Is there anyone from Fresno who could tell me why syphilis is growing exponentially in Fresno County? Okay, related to drug use and prostitution. You can pretty much figure out what that means. The prostitutes are being run in from Mexico, aren't they?
I mean, you want to put two and two together? I'm being intuitive here. I don't have to consult a Ouija board on that one. Here's another one why people are taking drugs. Potential Supreme Court candidate defended pipe bomber and child murderer. You hear who Obama's picking? You want to hear who he's picking? One of President Obama's potential candidates for the Supreme Court has a history of defending some of Iowa's most infamous criminals, including the Midwest pipe bomber and the child molester who murdered 5-year-old Evelyn Miller. So-called Judge Jane Kelly, who was appointed to the so-called Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, is on Obama's short list for the Supreme Court left by the assassination of Judge Antonin Scalia. Before becoming a judge, Ms. Kelly worked for years as a public defender in Iowa. In 05, Kelly was the appointed attorney for a 26-year-old man named Casey Fredrickson, who was charged with possession of child porno and killed a child. You hear this? You know, people are very upset over the maniac in the White House. I mean, make no mistake about it. He is as radical as they come, but because of the Jake Tappers in the world, he gets away with it, okay? If Trump burps, they already call him Mussolini. Hitler could appoint, Hitler, I'm sorry, I meant to say Obama. I made a mistake. My tongue slipped. I mean, Obama could appoint a child molester to the Supreme Court. They would say it's a good choice because it's progressive. And so a lot of people are tuning out of politics and tuning into medication of one kind or another. I wanted to talk about that for a minute. On a personal level, I got nothing to admit. I'm not the hemorrhoid with ears every day, another disease, and it suddenly recovers from them. Talk about a whack job. I don't know how anyone listens, but anyway. About a year ago, I developed severe, I mean, mind-bending pain in my upper latissimus dorsi, ranging from the neck to the shoulder, and I didn't know what to do. I'm in reasonably good shape, and I do very mild exercise. I bicycle every day on a flat road, mainly not so much for the cardio. People have that all wrong. One day I'm going to do a health video. The whole thing of cardio is all wrong. It's absolute wrong. Pushing yourself till you sweat. I guarantee you, over 60, you're not going to be in good shape. I can guarantee you, those of you who are pushing the cardio are making a mistake. It's a misnomer. It is not known to mankind to push yourself that way. There's not a culture on earth that would agree that's healthy for you. So I always did moderate exercise, always, except, around 29, 30, I did very severe running. I wrote articles for Runner's Magazine, but you wouldn't know that. I'm not supposed to have any of that in my background because I'm a conservative. But I wrote for Runner's Magazine. So I was into running. I was skinny. I was a little skinny guy. I weighed like 130. I had 140 cholesterol, and I almost dropped dead from the running. I remember I told the story once or twice. I was running up a mountain every day in the back of my house in a hilly area in Marin County. I would go to a waterfall and run up to the top of the waterfall and come down almost gagging, thinking it was good for me. And then one day a voice went off in my head and it started to scream, "Don't run, don't run, don't run, don't run." I thought I went crazy. I never ran again, and the voice never came back again. It's called the inner voice. You ever hear about that one? It's written about in the Bible. Listen to the still, quiet voice or something like that. Well, it wasn't a burning bush. It was the inner man screaming, "Stop running, or you'll have a blowout, man," like a tire on a highway in the summer in Mississippi that's bald. I never ran again. So anyway, the long and short of it is I never did severe exercise. I developed this pain in my neck. I have some doctor friends. One wanted me to get an MRI and this and that. I didn't want to. Now, I happen to be claustrophobic to a certain extent. I don't like confinement. I don't like tight spaces. There's a number of reasons for it. I don't want to go into. Some of them are comedic. Some of them are valid. But it's irrelevant. I hated the MRI, and I jumped out of the machine. When I hear the clicking, I said to myself, okay, I'm going to be able to do it this time. I had done it once before I ran out of the thing. I pressed the button and said, let me out of here. It's like a coffin. I can't go in the coffin with the magnetic clicking. It's a complete loss of freedom. So anyway, I go to the MRI and I brainwashed myself saying, you're going to do it. It's only a couple of minutes. I lasted about 45 seconds this time. So my doctor friend stopped talking to me because doctors are very vain and they figure if you don't listen to them, you don't like them. But it was nothing about him. I just couldn't do it. The other doctor told me it was this. The other doctor told me it was that. Well, it was so severe. I didn't know what to do. I wasn't going to do surgery.
And what I did was, is I gave up curls with dumbbells. I'm giving you an example. I didn't take pills because I know where that would lead. I just couldn't go down that road. I could have gone to a doctor for pain and taken Oxy and continued, you know, with my life, but I didn't because I have a very addictive personality. I'm addicted to radio, for example. I'm attenuated to it, and I'm addicted to it. If I'm not on the microphone, I don't get the high I get from being on the microphone. And that's the test of radio, by the way. Either you get high on your show or you shouldn't do it at all. If you come off this microphone and you feel drained and you didn't get any kind of high off it, you ought to get out of the business. And that's my advice because you're going to die from it. It's like me running up the mountain. You can't do it eventually. Your body will give out. Your brain will give out. This is not like putting anyone down. I'm just telling you, from an older guy who's been in the business a long time, if you're gagging from it and you can't do it anymore, eventually your brain is going to give out or your body's going to give out. But the long and short of it is, I didn't take any pills. I just gave up. I found out that when I stopped doing curls, the pain sort of subsided. So now I haven't done any curls for a number of months. And I went to my doctor friend and he said, how's the pain? So I said, you know, it's funny. When I stopped doing the curls, the pain lessened and it went away. Now it's almost 100% gone. It gets induced if I lean over the computer on my left arm. I know what's doing it. A lot of it's to do with the computer. This and that. All right. So he says to me, I said, you know, but I really miss having strong arms. So he says to me, when was the last time I looked at your biceps? He said, would you rather be pain-free or have nice biceps? So frankly, I have no pain as a result of that. And what I'm saying is there's pain management techniques that are available to us, whether it be yoga or stretching. Many of us laugh at these alternative modalities, but they are not to be laughed at all. They've been around for ages, and we in America are hooked on allopathic medicine when there are so many other alternatives. I'll give you another example. Years ago, I wrote a book on homeopathy. I don't even know the year it was in the 80s sometime, and it was not a huge seller, did well. The Complete Guide to Homeopathy. People think it's crackpot and crazy. It's not. Homeopathy used to be the medicine of choice in America before allopathy. The British royal family probably still practices homeopathy. She's 104. So don't laugh it away. They don't use drugs. They don't use allopathic drugs. I'll give you another example. I was in Florida last week, right? Right hand finger turns red as a beet. I don't even know why. I don't know whether it was an insect bite. I don't know what happened. It blew up like a balloon, like somebody had injected it with Viagra. I'm sorry to be vulgar, but that's what the finger looked like. I kept getting bigger, like, what is this stuff? And it was red, and it was spreading. So I figured it was an insect bite. Now, I remember the first night I got to my house in Florida. I had put my pillow. You know when you travel? I'm a freakazoid. I travel with my own pillow in my suitcase. I don't care where I go, same pillow around the world. Well, I'll tell you what happened to my pillow, what has to do with my hand, and how it has nothing to do with what we're talking about the minute I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCO-PAIN. We're treating pain. We're treating pain with religion, politics, drugs, alcohol, hope, form of treatment for pain. We're obsessed now with the election, treatment for our pain caused by Obama. We'll be disappointed no matter who wins. I mean, you just better be ready for that one. I don't care who it is. Let's say you're a Trump supporter. He wins, you'll be disappointed. Hillary wins, you'll be disappointed. Whoever wins, I mean, they're not God. They're not going to wave a magic wand and make you a magical person. In the age of cocaine, people thought that by taking cocaine, they were going to become supermen. That's what they did. They were new men. They would snort coke, and they were a new man. How long did that last? So we're talking about secret addiction to various drugs. But I want to finish my story about my own pain. So my finger blew up in Florida. Still a little swollen, but it's not red. And I don't know what happened. I remember the first time I got there, I took my pillow, which I traveled with, out of my suitcase, put it on the balcony of my house. And to get the sea air, I come back in an hour. Of course, Mr. Genius, the pillow fell off the balcony from the wind into bushes below it that were unlit. So I had to go down in the middle of the night to a dark lawn behind the hedge and grab the pillow. So I said, hey, I'm going to get bitten by something. I don't know what it was. I grabbed the pillow. I didn't feel a bite. Shook it off. I figured a bug or whatever. I didn't see him. The next day, there's a red finger. So I figured maybe he was bitten. I come back to it's still swollen like mad 2 days later and getting worse. So I get out a homeopathic spray, and I spray one spritz. I swear to God, the swelling went down. One spray, homeopathy, spray went down. I had a friend, he died years ago, he was a medical doctor in Sausalito on a houseboat, great guy. And he died young, he died in his 40s, but he was a good homeopathic doctor, but a heavy smoker. I forget his name was Hal, really nice guy. And he told me he travels the world, he only travels with this homeopathic remedy and aspirin. And it works for bruises, Arnica. This is an Arnica spray, but it's from a real company in Europe that's been around for over 100 years, a French company, I believe. It worked. So what do you say, didn't work? Because you didn't read about it in the AMA?
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
But I want to broaden it in this hour from the opiates to other drugs. Because, you know, whether you accept it or not, and most people listen to the show are probably very straight and narrow. I wouldn't know who listens in an audience of this size. You would assume you have people doing a lot of things that you could never imagine. but what joins them together is probably a commonality in a desire for law and order in America. I mean, even drug addicts like law and order, by the way. Everybody would like an orderly world to be returned to this nation. We have almost anarchy in the country right now because of Obama. I'm sorry to tell you, he ran a war against police from the day he started, and we know what's going on. So I want to broaden it from pure politics for a while into something different. So, for example, now we're talking about oxy and opiates, but what we haven't talked about are the psychedelics like mescaline, LSD, and they're still used. I want to open the show up to a wider audience right now, and I want to ask people who use mescaline or LSD to call the show, because obviously you're using it and you're still functional and you're still rational. You're using it recreationally. What are you using it for? I'd like to hear about that because I want to know how many people still do this stuff. Now, we want to talk about visionary experiences under lysergic acid, for example, or visionary experiences under mescaline, and why people seek these psychedelic drugs to this day. What are they seeking? They're seeking a visionary experience. To escape from themselves, in other words. Now, you could say, well, it's all evil, why talk about it? Well, that's a simplistic approach. As a former ethnobotanist with great experience in medications from plants, I can assure you that there are many cultures on Earth to this day that use the world of botanicals for visionary experiences, visionary escapes. For example, the famous story of ayahuasca in South America that Richard Evans Schultes first reported upon still exists. They're still using ayahuasca, which is a lysergic acid-based plant drug, so to speak. So why would people living in what you would think are idyllic situation, they're half naked, they're living in the jungle, they're living off the land, everything a hippie dreams of that could never do, they do, and yet they also need to escape the vicissitudes of their life. And so through the eons, they discovered that certain drugs from plants enable them to get away into other worlds. They go into other worlds, visionary worlds. And where do they go? What do they see that is so captivating that they want to go back? What is this magic? What are these magical places that people go to? But if you look at the folklore around the world, if you look at the folklore going back to the Greco-Roman tradition, you'll find similar escapades of fantasy. Visionaries were writing that folklore. You could look to the folklore of the Celts. You could look at the folklore of the Japanese. You could look at the Native American tribes, and you will find similar themes in all of them. And you'll find similar visions in all of them, by the way, in their escapes. Countries filled with jewels, stones, golden lotuses, Instead of sand, there's pearls and gems on the banks of the rivers. And then they see trees bearing golden flowers with sweet fragrances and birds chirping in the background. We'll go into the Indian mystics, and you'll see the landscapes of the mescaline experience, again, rich with similar imagery. So I don't want to take you on a trip right now. I want to take you somewhere else, and you'll have to go there with me if you wish, but people are still using drugs, and they have from the beginning of time. Make no mistake about it. Don't act like you're Mr. Conservative and that you're rigid and you don't need any escape. You do what everyone does. And everyone finds this escape in one form or another, whether it be benign forms such as travel. It's an escape. It's a form of escape. Or alcohol, most common. People drink to break the tension. Some can drink one or two drinks, and that's enough. That's all they need. They're not alcoholics. Others can't drink even a drop because they're addicted. They drink one drop, and there's no limit to what they need. I myself, I can have one drink or no drinks. It doesn't matter to me. Last night I went to a restaurant. I had one sip of red wine. I didn't drink anymore. I didn't like the taste. I have a feedback mechanism. And I learned a long time ago that alcoholics have no feedback mechanism. They don't get any feedback as to whether they should drink or not. Once they start, they can't stop. So I'm very lucky in that regard. I have feedback mechanisms on many negative things, not all. I wish I had it on all. I'd be a god if I did. But I have feedback mechanisms on many bad things, not on all. I eat too many shrimp. I eat too much salt. Things like that. But what I'm saying is, man is always, as a former anthropologist, I've studied this, man has always sought an escape from everyday life, as they call it, the vicissitudes of existence. I like the word. I like the way it flows off the tip of my tongue, vicissitudes. I like saying vicissitudes, because saying vicissitudes explains vicissitudes. Without understanding vicissitudes, we understand vicissitudes. And we all have them. So how do we get out of these valleys we fall into? Well, you have your way, I have mine. But what I'm saying is we still escape. Politics is a form of escape, in case you don't know it. Obsessing on Trump or obsessing on Hillary, obsessing on Democrat, obsessing on Soros, obsessing on Muslims, obsessing on Mexicans, obsessing on whites, obsessing on blacks, obsessing on Hispanics, obsessing on language. These are forms of addictive behavior, by the way. I guess I'm now leaving the world of politics and entering a new world of psychopolitics, which I should maybe talk about another time. Maybe it's a field I've just developed. But I really want to talk about these things because no one does. And as I've advertised this show, it's a show for the thinking, talk radio for the thinking person. I don't want to be accused of false advertising. So let's think together on the Savage Nation and kind of have a good time. Because I'm telling you right now, as I've said many times, if talk radio ceases to be entertaining or enlightening in any way, what is the point of it? At least from my point of view. You know, everyone has their own view of what talk radio should be. I'm telling you, at the end of 2016, come January 1st, 2017, if you're gonna tell me you're still going to listen to talk day and night the same thing, whoever the president is, again the same thing, well, it'll probably be just as hot then. Whoever wins, you're going to have half the country hating them. Think about that one. If Trump wins, talk radio will never be better. If Hillary wins, talk radio will never be better. So I guess it'll always be politics. But I'm not going to do it 24/7. By then, Rubio will long be gone selling ice to Eskimos, and Kasich will be selling small rubber boots to ducks. And, of course, Lindsey Graham will long be forgotten. He will have made a fortune selling Christian Bibles in Arabia as penance. Sanders will be off in the Middle East selling knishes to ISIS. And if Hillary doesn't win, she'll be selling used pantsuits to zoos, as I said before. And I'll say it again. So now we're going to take some calls that you're probably not used to on a so-called conservative radio show. But I don't define myself in any way. I refuse to be defined. I refuse to be turned into something I'm not. I'm not a thing. I'm a person. And I'm a multifactorial person with a tremendously diverse background. I should say a tremendously versatile background. I don't like to use the word diverse. It's overly used. It has no meaning. I have a very versatile background. I'm widely read, and I'm interested in many things. And to me, that's what makes talk radio sing. That turns it into a symphony with many instruments. Otherwise, you know, it's a banjo with one string. If you like a banjo with one string, we got that music too. Robert, we have any banjo with one string? No, don't find it, but we have that too. All right, let's take some calls on the opiates, the psychedelics. Celeste on WTMA in South Carolina. Let's hear your story. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. When I was a young person, I was constantly searching for new experiences and connections, and I'll never forget my first LSD trip. I mean, it just blew my mind, and I really enjoyed doing mushrooms when I had a safe place to take a trip. It was mind-blowing. It gave me a feeling of...
No, it didn't. But you see, you're using a phrase, it was mind-blowing. What does that mean? It blew your mind, and you were no longer rational. So you went into deserts, and you went into mountains, and you went into fields of gems. Where did you go?
I just felt so connected to the natural world, to the trees, to if I was at the beach, the ocean was amazing, the moonlight. I just felt
all right, so
that
you're an older woman now. Do you still use psychedelics?
No, I don't. Every once in a while I think about it, I have to say. But I don't want to lose connection to the real world in that way anymore, I guess.
Okay, because you can't afford to.
No, I can't.
You see, that's the difference. A child can afford to do a lot of things that an adult cannot afford to do. Well, thank you very much. You see, what this woman just said is that she needed a chemical vacation from an intolerable world and also from the intolerable world of selfhood. Many of you need escapes from the repulsive surroundings that you live in. That's alcohol usually in the slums, right? Or alcohol in the mansion in which you live. A mansion can become a mental slum, too. You can walk around in a 16-room house and be living in a slum. You can be a child in a slum with the fire hydrant turned on in August, and you could be living in a paradise like I had as a kid. I've written about it in the Bronx. I'm not boasting about it, but I lived in a tenement. I didn't know we were poor. I didn't feel poor. I never wanted for anything. We were clean. There was no crime in our neighborhood because the men were always present and the police were very tough. Criminals did not prowl in my neighborhood. They didn't last very long. The men were all, you know, rugged individualists and willing to take the law into their own hands. If their children even looked that wrong, believe me, no one called 911. I tell you this. Oh, we're not living in that age anymore. People still have a desire to escape from selfhood or to escape from the environment. That's been going on from the beginning of the time. Look at cave paintings. Look at the history of the discovery of alcohol, for example, in ancient Sumeria. And I once wrote a book on beer in 1976 or 75. I was into craft brewing before anyone knew what a craft brew was. And I home brewed and I traveled the world studying breweries. I was very fascinated by the history of beer. And the theory of how beer was first discovered is interesting. And as I said, in the Middle East, ancient Sumerians, it's alleged or thought folklorically that someone was masticating food, some kind of grain, and then discarded this in a plate. They didn't, it's like they spat it out, in other words, it had been chewed on. It had been mixed with saliva. And then they didn't want to eat it or whatever. And then they went back to it later on, and it had slightly fermented. They didn't know it was fermented. No one knew what fermentation was. Alcohols had been formed inside the food, and they had to re-eat it because they were hungry. And after they ate that food that they had previously masticated, they felt differently. It was like, hey, man, she doesn't have a mustache anymore. I'm joking. Okay, come on, that was an easy one. Or, hey, he's not as ugly anymore, whichever way you want to look at it. And they felt better from the food that had been modified in that way. So the guy experimented again, or she experimented again, tried it again, did it longer. Wow, this is pretty amazing. you do this and the food tastes different and wow, I can live with this guy in this cave. He's not quite as ugly anymore. Well, I'm giving you the folkloric view of how alcohol was stumbled upon, and then it was perfected over time. But so from the beginning of recorded civilization, probably before that, we even have evidence, by the way, that animals seek out an escape from their ordinary life. I remember reading this years ago that there's evidence that birds will seek out fruits to get them high. Did you know that? So don't think it's limited to mankind. And maybe you take away a little bit of the burden that you're carrying around about your need to escape. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Oh, welcome back to the Savage. I often wonder about entertainers, the great ones, and drug use. You know, we had the case of the suicide of Robin Williams. He was a well-known drug addict for many years. He blew his circuits and killed himself in the end. Sad story. But, you know, I watch a series on HBO called Vinyl about the record industry in the 70s. I happen to enjoy it very much. It was written by, directed by Scorsese and partly written by Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger's son is in it. I enjoy it. It's a fun entertainment experience to see that drug, sex, and rock and roll show. But it's something I didn't live through, but I enjoy watching it. And I ask myself, why entertainers, so many of them needed drugs or still need drugs to perform, to get up there on the stage? I don't. I'm doing a three-hour performance every day. I don't need drugs. Why do they need drugs? Well, it's not the same thing. It's not a high-octane performance, let us say, in front of 100,000 people. I get that. Somehow you have to put out that vibe, but do you need drugs to do it? I guess they did. But radio is a performance art. Think about it. All I have is a microphone. It's my only instrument. Nothing else. There's no flashing lights, no shoes, no lipstick, no haircuts. It's all voice. It's a voice performance, brain voice. I could never use drugs to do this show because I wouldn't be able to think for 1 second. You know, once in my 22 years, March 22nd, I think will be the 22nd year anniversary of my show. Way back when I was a local host, I experimented with alcohol. In the last half hour of a show, actually it was the last 15 minutes, I took one drink to see how it would work. I couldn't think. When you're doing this show, you're so focused when you're doing radio that if you throw your thinking machine off even slightly, you're finished. But I want to get back to psychedelics, OxyContin, and other drugs. Are you a secret drug user? And why do you use drugs? How do you hide the drug use? Right here on the Savage Nation. Boredom of our lives. Isn't that what we're really talking about? I mean, I'm providing a drug for most of you listening to this show. I'm a medication. I'm a sedation or an inspiration, depending upon what I'm doing or what mood you're in. And that's my job, is to help you escape every day in some way or other, take you into my world. And that's the absolute reality of it. A talk show host is taking you to their world. And if they can't take you there, you're not going. Meaning if you don't go with them, they're not going to be in business very long. So obviously, many of you have enjoyed my vision of the world for a period of time, and you want to come back with me as the good shepherd of this trip. It's a trip I'm taking you on when you think about it. Whether I give you, let's say, a conservative view of the world or my view of the news, I'm giving you my vision of the world. Some like the vision, some hate the vision, some don't know what the vision is. Some think it's division, but it isn't division, it's revision. I have to revise things for you in order for you to deal with them, and I have to revise them for myself to cope with the world. So that's what I do every day. I'm taking you on a trip, taking you on a mind trip. But you see, everybody listening to this show should understand that human beings from the beginning of time have looked for release in one way or another. I don't know what you're using, because we want to get away from it. And some use lust. Some use lust. Some use drugs. You know, we could talk about sex addiction one day. That'd be a great show. I haven't done that. Right now we're talking about tobacco. No, not tobacco. The opioids. We haven't touched on cocaine. Kind of not really that popular anymore. Tobacco kind of made into a bad guy. Mescaline, it's still used probably amongst the hipsters. Basically, we're talking about chemistry, physiology, psychology. Most people are just into wine and whiskey, marijuana. But a lot of people are using other stuff to transcend themselves. Others use it through, others transcend themselves in the boredom of their lives through means of worship and by performing good deeds, spiritual exercises. They don't need alcohol or goofy pills. They can use meditation or they can use, running, whatever, you get a high off that. Or, what do you call it that everyone's doing now? I can't, with the women with the tight, I don't know what the tight outfits was the equivalent of the miniskirt today. They should be banned, those outfits. What do they call those things that you exercise in? Come on. No, what are they called? Yoga pants. Now, many people think yoga is not a, you know, yoga is a religion. It's a religious practice. People just think it's an exercise. It comes from an ancient Indian religious practice. This is Eastern religion. And that's okay, but I'm saying, but yoga is very popular right now. The pants, forget about it. It's our generation's equivalent of miniskirts. They should be outlawed. Okay, I won't go down that road, but certain things you don't want to have to look at day and night. It's hard if you're a human being. We're not made of stone. That's where the Muslims come in. That's where they invented the burqa. You think that they're made of stone? And they carried a little too far. I mean, it's the opposite. When you think about it, yoga pants are the opposite of a burqa. I don't know. There's something here in a joke. I don't have the time to develop it. But there's some cultural observation here. Yoga pants and burqas, they're the opposite ends of the spectrum, right? Okay. Well, we'll talk about that another time. I got to tell you something. It is 2.5 hours into this show. And I'm full of energy. And I'm telling you, this is how I used to do radio for 20 some odd years. Well, I wouldn't say 20 years. I would say for a good 15 years, this is the kind of show I was famous for. I would, I'd read the news and I reject it. I had producers who would produce the articles from the internet. I'd come into the radio station. I'd have all the stories. I'm not negating it. They were sitting there. This is before internet. They were printing it off, quote, wires, AP and UPI. Can you believe this? Bring in magazines, books. We're all clamoring for the latest book and author, fighting over getting the author first. Those days are long over. But remembering back to radio in my heyday, maybe this is my heyday, I don't even know. I don't know what the heyday means. Well, the point is I would do shows that were intuitive and interesting to me, and then they become interesting to the audience. So that's what I'm doing today. I'm not going to do a pre, whatever it is today, Super Tuesday show. How can you do a show like that when there's no results yet? It's like talking about a horse race before the horse has left the gate. It's like going to the Golden Gate Fields and sitting and talking for 3 hours about the race that didn't begin yet. It'll begin in 4 hours. So I sit and go, well, that guy, that horse on number 9, I got to tell you, I guess you could do that. His hooves are sharper than the one on 7. No, the nostrils on number 1 are better than the... the filly on number 3. I don't know. People do that. I mean, people talk about batting averages for the... Grown men actually talk about the batting averages of men in striped suits. Can you believe this? Grown men in a time like this will talk about batting averages. I see another guy in my name. Old guy. Only lives to go golfing. I don't know the man. I bicycle by his house. The guy's like, I can hardly walk. This is what he lived his whole life. To throw a bag of clubs in his trunk and go up to a golf club and hit a ball. Okay. Okay, it's a big world. People got to do what they got to do. That's how they escape. I'm not knocking. It's just I don't do it. That's all. This is one of my greatest addictions is talk radio. Now, I want to make all of you people out there who are jealous of rich people happy for a moment. Those of you who are not quite Bernie Sanders supporters, but you're struggling and you hate the rich in your own way. You're jealous. You wish you could be them. Here's a story from the New York Post just came out. Ackman takes $1 billion hit as Valiant tumbles 49%. Now, I don't know who Ackman is, but he's a hedge funder who had a huge amount of money in a pharmaceutical giant by the name of Valiant. And the stock plummeted, and it went to a four-year low after reporting a trifecta of disappointing news. So the shares tumbled $35 in heavy trading, down 81% in the last year. And Mr. Ackman, whose Pershing Square hedge fund owns 30 million shares, or 9% of Valiant, Valiant took a paper loss of more than $1.045 billion in mid-afternoon trading. So all you losers out there, go have a drink. All you Bernie Sanders voters,
Go have a drink right now. Enjoy yourself. Because I watch the show Billions. And it's a pretty good show. I enjoy that one. I like Vinyl. Those are two shows I like now on Sunday night. But Monday, there's nothing to do. Zero. There's no television Monday. It's the reruns of Sunday. Tuesday is horrible. There's no television to look forward to. Zero. I like Sunday night TV. That's amazing. Sunday's a horrible night. Terribly depressing. Even as a kid, I hated Sunday nights. I'd watch Ed Sullivan. I'd get nauseous. I'd get a migraine headache because I knew I had to go to sleep and school was the next day. Same thing. Nothing changes. It's actually the same thing. It's like everybody likes, what do you do Sunday night? You watch bad television. Well, it's good. They're smart. They give you good TV on Sunday nights. They know when you need it. There's your drug. Talking about drugs and entertainment. All right, let's take some calls. I'm just rapping along here. I have all the sound I haven't played. Can I read you some of the sound bites I was going to play for you till I got sidetracked talking about pill mills and drug addiction? Newsflash opening. How President Reagan dealt with the Berkeley protesters in 69. I played those yesterday. They are so worth it. Black conservative Anthony Brian Logan speaks about the Trump protest on YouTube. A montage the guys put together for me of Cruz, Rubio, and Kasich blaming Trump for violence at his rallies. The caller from yesterday on ABC talking about her nephew was a Trump protester and how she despised him. We have this one. We have to play this one. It's Clinton on a hot mic talking to the dummy Chris Matthews, the babbling fool, saying that Trump is a dangerous presence and Christie must have a debt. Let's play clip 9. Let me hear that.
Bring back chairs to the enemy of overweight people. He does this. Every time I do the Tonight Show, they did a live show today, and it was on the CNN.
Yeah, you guys can't stop covering it. I mean, he is.
No, it's no good. I can't hear it. It's bad sound. Forget it. Clinton saying, I don't trust the polls anymore. That's because she's losing. Clinton lying and saying, we didn't lose a single person in Libya. Clinton lying, saying she would screen refugees properly. Romney lying on Kasich, saying he has a real track record. Kasich lying, saying I would never team up with Trump. Kasich lying, saying I will never take a low road to highest office in the land. Rubio lying, saying Donald doesn't understand radical Islam or ISIS. Obama lying and saying he laments the corrosive behavior in the election. Obama lying, saying he has diplomatic successes on Iran and Syria and Afghanistan. Activists lying and saying white people should kill themselves to atone for white privilege. So all the sound bites are about liars, when I think about it. And by the way, that's what works in radio, is catching liars lying and playing it for you. That's like, you know, when you have a cavity in your tooth and you suck cold air in on it and you get a migraine? That's what bad that's what sound does for people. Or it's like chalk on a blackboard if it's really bad. How about when you went to an ice cream stand or a Carvel or a yogurt on a hot day and you bit into it and you got that shot in the head where you thought you were going to faint? How many guys do you see in the summer around America leaning on car fenders holding their head? They're leaning on one hand and they're holding their head with the other. I don't know what to do with the ice cream cone. That's probably on the ground. They took like 6 slurps. They touched the nerve. It went into the eye, right to the head, and they're bent over the car fender. That's sort of a high in its own way. So many things you can do to escape without drugs. Where's the guy who says he uses Iridis? K. Eugene. Where else? Eugene, Oregon. Bob, you use psychedelics today?
Yes, Dr. Savage. Much less than I used to.
Okay, you're a grown-up. You listen to talk radio. What kind of psychedelics do you use, Bob?
At this point in my life, I really only use things like psilocybin mushrooms or mescaline. I try to stay away from LSD. I've still used dimethyltryptamine at times.
So you're using really light stuff. I get it. You're really using light stuff. That's funny. Sure. Come on. Are you serious about it? You really take that stuff? That's really hard on the brain.
Well, I use it occasionally, and in some ways, I'm proud to say that your past in ethnobotany, your logic and reasoning, listening to you every day as I transitioned out of working for other people over the last 8 years to working for myself. I don't know. I was raised Catholic, and I feel like it just really strengthened my sense of logic to a point.
What strengthened your sense of logic? Using drugs?
Well, at times, from being raised and going to Catholic masses and being told all these certain things from history, and then after a combination of psychedelics and hearing more things about ancient civilizations and other histories and things that were never brought to my attention, as well as living in a place like Oregon with the natural world all around me. Seems like Rudolph.
No, you're telling a beautiful story. I'm not mocking you. I'm listening to you. It's two different things. You know, one man's meat is another man's poison. I personally can't use medication or drugs like that because my mind is so structured and so set up in a certain way. I don't like to rattle a cage.
Well, funny.
See, that's what I want to know. I want to know how people who have good minds can use drugs. I consider my brain that of a Stradivarius violin. It's finely tuned. Sounds throw me off. Smells throw me off. Crowds throw me off. Scents throw me off. I have to be very cautious how I treat my brain, okay? And for my brain to function properly and to have that harmonium operating in my mind, I have to put myself into certain environments to keep myself there. So how do you, as a man with a refined brain, deal with these psychedelics and then go out into the real world?
Well, I'm luckily fortunate enough to make my entire living now with plants and organic gardening and bacteria. And
so what, you mean you sell mushrooms?
No, sir. I actually work in, like, medical cannabis and soil consulting and Korean natural farming techniques. And
I'm not laughing at it. You know, I can only say what I think about marijuana. I think it's a very dangerous drug. But apparently millions of people think otherwise. What am I going to do? Argue with them? I'm not going to argue with them. I'm going to tell them what I think is true, and they'll have to do what they think is true. So, here's the last question of the day. You're into a completely different world than I am, a totally different mindset. So, how often do you listen to my show?
I literally listen to your show probably 4 days a week for the last 8+ years. You're one of the most...
Okay, so here's the question. Why do you listen to the show? If I don't represent what you believe, why do you listen to the show?
Well, your diverse past, your degrees from, like, learning institutions, combined with your obvious logic and ability to see the truth and explain it in very explainable terms. I mean...
Okay, so you like my vision. That's what I was saying earlier. My vision of the world, as I present it to people, is a place that they want to go to or they wouldn't listen for another second. Interesting. You're helping me understand me a little better and what my radio show is about. Like any other visionary in any other field, I'm sorry to say it, whether you like it or not, whether it's El Greco the painter being persecuted by the church or Michael Savage being persecuted by the liberal establishment, at the end of the day, my vision will prevail because that's what I believe in. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Here's the Savage Nation. We have a news flash. We just learned that if Ted Cruz loses, he and his father have leased Guantanamo Naval Base from the U.S. government, where they're going to go to Cuba and breed snakes for all the Pentecostals around the world. Repeat, this is a Savage Nation exclusive. If Ted Cruz loses to Trump, we have learned that he is moving to Guantanamo to breed holy snakes for Pentecostals around the world. Just kidding, folks. Lighten up a little bit, will you? Here's another one, by the way, after it's over. We hear that if Rubio loses, he's going to try to sell ice to the Eskimos. And here's another. We hear that after it's over, Kasich is going to try to sell small rubber boots to ducks. What does that one mean? I've been writing these before the show for entertainment. If it's all over, Lindsey Graham is going to sell Christian Bibles in Saudi Arabia as penance for attacking Trump. And by the way, after it's all over, we hear Sanders is going to sell Knishes to ISIS. How will that work out? And one other, by the way, after it's all over, Hillary is going to sell used pantsuits to zoos. Try to figure that one out. This is the Savage Nation. I hope you had a chuckle. Try to laugh a little bit. Bitterness doesn't sell. Bitterness doesn't sell. You know, it's interesting to me. There's a common idea that conservatives are stiffs, and they are. They're rigid. They're stiff. When you say Republican or conservative, what do you think? Some rigid, uptight guy who has no sense of humor whatsoever, who's probably a closet, well, fill in the blank. A closet, anything you want, from drug addict to you know what. In other words, behind the mask of sobriety, there's something else, right? That's what you think of, a hypocrite through and through, a rigid person. Well, you know, stereotypes don't always work, but when you think of Donald Trump, he doesn't fit the stereotype, which is why he's popular. Think about it. He's not uptight. He has a sense of humor. He doesn't have bitterness. Does he really have anger? Well, let's look back. You know, sarcasm is not anger. Machismo is not anger. Think about that. Don't confuse all the words together. It requires a knowledge of what sarcasm is, a sardonic sense of humor. I mean, all these words have meanings that shouldn't be lost upon you. And I think that one of the reasons Trump is popular is because he's not an uptight, classic Republican type. While the others are, Ted Cruz is a classic uptight Republican, when you think about it. I mean, snakes aside. All that stuff about Bibles and snakes aside. He doesn't seem to have a sense of humor. He's Richard Nixon with the, you know, the sweat on the upper lip. You can feel that. But there's no point in bashing these guys. They're all good men. For some reason or other, I think they must be. I don't know what they are, truthfully. But they're all part of the establishment. I mean, after all, Rubio and Cruz are senators. How can they pretend to be outsiders? Oh, I know, they're the good senators. I get it. Right. Tell me how that's worked out for you last time you trusted anyone from Congress. But, you know, I don't even want to talk about politics. Today is Super Tuesday. I recognize that. But, you know, the results aren't in until, what, 8 hours from now or something like that? So what am I going to do, sit here and read polls to you like a Schmendrick? You can read the polls yourself. There is a result, by the way. One did come in. Trump has won the first primary in the Republican field. That's right. He won Northern Mariana Islands caucus. Donald Trump has won the Republican caucus in the Northern Mariana Islands, picking up 9 pledged delegates. Picking them up from where? Picking them up from the floor of the bar or from the floor of the Kava stand? I mean, where to pick them up? Well, he's picked up 9 delegates in Marianas Islands. And as you know, the Marianas are a remote U.S. territory. And he won that one. Good God. Let's see. Ralph Torres, the governor of the Northern Mariana Islands, threw his support behind Trump ahead of the caucus. Okay, that's a big win. That's a big win. You know, I saw an article before the show that I really want to talk about. The Centers for Disease Control, a now defunct organization under Barry Obama, a political operative, a group of political operatives, they put out propaganda. So today they issued new guidelines on opiate prescriptions to reduce abuse, which is a good step, I guess. The so-called Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which if Trump wins, I'm going to lobby to take over and produce real science and real medicine, warned doctors Tuesday to use caution when prescribing drugs for chronic pain. Well, that's a breakthrough idea, isn't that one? We really need a government agency that spends, what, billions of dollars a year to tell us that? To tell doctors not to overprescribe OxyContin? I like that one. We know that 40 Americans a day are dying from overdoses of prescription painkillers. Wow, we didn't know that. Nearly all of the prescription opiates on the market are as powerful as heroin, said CDC clown Thomas Friedman. We know that. So why don't they just tell the drug companies to stop making it instead of issuing a false canard like this? In other words, if the U.S. government really wanted this stopped, they go to the pharmaceutical manufacturer and they say, you're not making these pills anymore, you're going to go to jail. They're too dangerous, they're banned. So instead they put out this crap, telling the doctors not to overprescribe it. When treating chronic pain, doctors should use therapies other than opiates, like what? Exercise, that really helps when you're dying of pain. Or NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, they don't really work, by the way, for severe pain. The fact is that major league drugs work for major league pain. The problem is they're prescribed for non-major league pain. That's the real problem. Okay, so you know what I wanted to talk about that? I really wanted to talk about that. Are you a secret prescription drug addict? How did it happen to you, and how do you hide it? I am talking about a secret drug addict. Are you a secret drug addict? Come on now. You can tell Uncle Mike. You can tell Uncle Mike. You can go get a handkerchief and put it over the mouthpiece of your phone and confess to America that you're a secret drug addict. Or else I'm going to talk about politics. I had a dream last night that of my 3-hour show a day, I'm going to start doing a half an hour of health topics. Because after this election is over, I intend to still be in the media, whether it's on radio or wherever I may be. I'm not going away. And given my interest in alternative medicine and all the years I spent in it, I actually think a good part of my future is going to be going back where I started, which is alternative medicine, homeopathy, nutrition, herbal medicine, all of the alternative medical practices that I wrote about 30 years ago, which were considered crazy at the time by doctors, are now sort of mainstream. And the only people who don't believe in them would be rigid conservatives who still walk around with constitutions attached to their thyroid gland and still think that eating cheeseburgers and taking drugs is the answer to every problem, and that anyone who uses herbal medicine or nutrition is some kind of hippie from Berkeley. That's why the young people don't like conservatives. That's why they move away from them. Because they understand that things have changed. Do you understand that? Young people who may be conservative because they love their country are also environmentalists because they love the earth. They don't want the earth decimated. They don't want the airs, waters, and places contaminated. Young people are probably into alternative medicine to a great extent. Whether it's faddish or not, it's another story. You have to go and look at each thing on its own. But, you know, they're a little different than you were when you were young. And so it's a different world, and I'm a flexible guy, and I know something I learned a long time ago, which is true in my personal life, as well as my professional life. I learned when I was studying evolution that animals that didn't adapt died. And there was an adage, adapt or die. It's true politically, it's true biologically, it's true medically, it's true psychologically. It's called adapt or die, and that means if you get rigid, you're finished. You turn to a pillar of salt. And that's true for Republicans who've turned to pillars of salt. And it's true for individuals who are stuck in the past. And I'm not one of those individuals because in many ways I am like a Rolling Stone. I always have been. You know, I told you I found a sign in Florida when I was there. I love these corny signs. I guess I've gotten older. My mother never even collected them, but I do. But I used to buy these cushions that had weird sayings on them. The family sees them. I hide them when I hold it like this. What does this one say? Most folks are like barbed wire fences. They have their good points. Stupid, corny stuff that you wouldn't be caught dead with. I let my dog tear it up. But this time I bought one which says I was weird before weird was cool. Now, that I thought was funny. But since I've always been weird, I've always been into alternative things. And alternative medicine was one of the things I was into long before it was popular. If you look back, my first published book was Earth Medicine, Earth Foods, 1972, about Native American Indians, if you want to call them that. It's kind of a derogatory word, Indian. We call them something else now, but the people who lived here before anyone else did, like they were here for 200,000 years, probably came over the Aleutian Islands. They walked over from Asia, which is why the similarities, and they adapted to the land, broke up into different tribes, spoke different languages, warred with each other for millennia, skinned each other alive, raped the other guy's wife if he caught her in the woods without the guy. I mean, don't tell me about the noble savage, please. I've studied it too much to know they were not that noble. Movies made them into noble savages, but there were no Indians in the movies. If you look back in the movies from the 50s, I sometimes watch them just to laugh at them. You know, the age of Jeff Chandler as a Sioux Indian chief, as the guy Sitting Bull played by Jewish guys from Brooklyn. That's what it was, the whole movie industry in the 50s. They took dark-skinned Sephardic Jewish guys and put headbands on them. They were like hippies, and they turned them into Indians. They didn't even put Indians in the movies. Made a fortune with them, MGM, whatever. That's how it worked. So, I'm kind of goofing around today. I'm not going to eat my heart out over this. I just want to enjoy the show. Yes, I will give you breaking news to make you... you'll change the dial to hear someone talk about the news. What can't you get on your own in the news that I could give you on a radio show? The answer is nothing. So if I cannot offer you an alternative to what you can get on the internet in a millisecond, why should I be in radio? Well, I can just read the headlines to you and ask you what you think about them. That's Radio 101. It can't go on. It's over. It's the dinosaur of talk. So I'd rather, tell jokes today. And, and I really want to get into this drug abuse thing because I think it's a major league problem. Now, there are news stories, obviously, that are worth talking about. For example, at Harvard University, a so-called left-wing activist said white people should kill themselves to atone for white privilege. It's a YouTube video that shows two black student activists, so-called, from the University of West Georgia, that's a really great institution, asserting that white people should kill themselves in order to atone for white privilege. The debate, which was held at Harvard University, features two creeps, two sub-morons from the University of West Georgia, who won second place at the Cross-Examination Debate Association Nationals. And so these two racist blacks are now featured at Harvard on a YouTube, and they're saying white life is wrong and that white people should kill themselves. Now, this is what's passing for college boys today on the campuses. So I'm giving an example of what's going on. Where did this all come from? It came from the White House. He didn't write it for them, but this is what you have. When you encourage sub-morons to think out loud and don't chastise them for being the racists that they are, they get worse. It's the same with the guy who jumped the stage at the Trump rally. Why was he released? Why is he not in jail? Savage says, get Reagan tough on Trump. Protesters are risk civil war. Douglas Ernst, WND.com. Radio host Michael Savage says it's time to treat Donald Trump's protesters the way Ronald Reagan did with UC Berkeley students in 1969 as governor of California. Now, that's a good article. Here's another one. Michael Savage, The Angry Man Worth Reading. And this is a review by a man who has a huge history in the media, Martin Seif. He's been around a long time. But he listens to me and he actually hears me. Served as chief foreign correspondent for the Washington Times, chief news analyst, international affairs for UPI. Received 3 Pulitzer Prize nominations for international reporting. He'll be on the show later. The Angry Man Worth Reading, Michael Savage. So don't think I'm gonna walk away from my insights and analysis. I will get back to it. And I'll also talk about why Bernie Sanders is morally unfit to be president. All here. Well, Rubio to try to sell ice to Eskimos. Kasich to sell small rubber boots to ducks. Lindsey Graham to sell Christian Bibles in Saudi Arabia. Sanders to sell Knishes to ISIS. Hillary to sell used pantsuits to zoos. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Racing my car through Central Park in a snowstorm. We had fun in those days. Sliding in the snow. Can't do that today. The cops would throw you right in the clink. Now, my friends and I would go out when it started to snow. I mean a light snow, not a heavy snow. And we had, old sports cars. They were never new. We didn't have money, but a Morgan, a Jaguar, this or that. We'd go out and race through Central Park in a light flurry, sliding through the turns. What fun that was. That was a form of escape. I mean, hot cars are an escape. To this day, cars are a hobby of mine. I just like the sound of engines. I like beautiful machinery. I like to maintain machinery. I can't do it, but I know people who can. I like to be around them while they're doing it. I like moving parts that move well, whether it be in a body or a car, or an animal, or a bird, or a planet, or a solar system, or an orderly universe. I personally think there's order in the universe. And if you want me to get philosophical about why, then, is the burqa dominating the opposite in Europe? I'll explain it another time.